In dying, Christ destroys our death, and in rising, Christ restores our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Bill put on Christ, so now in Christ may he be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are all God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And those who have this hope purify themselves just as Christ is pure. Jesus says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here together to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Bill McKibben. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss, so we pray that God may grant us grace, that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow we may find hope, and in death we may find a resurrection. When I first found out I was being appointed to Fayetteville First United Methodist Church in April of last year, I had two different members of the church I was serving at the time, Sandy Springs United Methodist, tell me the first people I should seek out here were Bill and Betty McKibben. Apparently, there was something in the water in Methodist churches in East Point, Georgia, going back a few years, because that's how they knew Bill and Betty. They said, you need to find them out and get to know them. Well, I got here, and I cannot say that I found them first. Instead, they found me, and they welcomed me and my family and offered us welcome that we have come to know as part of Fayetteville First United Methodist Church from Bill and Betty's warm smiles. And then Bill let me know about the bookshelves that he built around here in this sanctuary and this church and all the rooms and the offices. He let me know about all the light bulbs that he changed on various arrays of ladders here in the sanctuary that would not pass any inspection code to this day. He told me about the boiler rooms that he had been in, the Sunday school classrooms, the roofs he had climbed, the walls he had repaired, the toilets he had unclogged. Because he was proud to have served this church. He was proud to have served God through this church with his presence, his gifts, his witness, his service. And then he leans in a little bit closer and whispers, now I know the secrets to this place too. Give me some time and I'll tell you what closets the skeletons are in. Well, I'll be happy to report that he never told me about those skeletons, so you're all safe. I have no dirt because Bill never told me. Not because he didn't get the chance, but because that's not who Bill was. He was not the kind of person that would have gone around telling about your secrets or your dirty laundry. He did tell me how loving this place was. He did tell me about how much he loved his family. He did tell me about how he loved serving here, being a part of this community of faith, telling me about the friendships he had made, the work that he had done, the family that he had raised, the wife that he loved. Bill never told me the dirty secrets, because Bill always shared the good and the best. And maybe that's the secret that we seek as we move through grief and into eternal life. Maybe that's the secret that we know and share, is that all our lives are filled with joy and hope, even though we are in the midst of death. Bill never told me the secrets of this place, at least not the bad ones, only the good ones, only the best ones, because Bill was the good, and Bill believed the good. And now, today, we celebrate that Bill has been welcomed home to the best. The best love this world has ever known, the love of God that will not let him go, and the love of God that awaits for us all as Bill enters into his eternal home, and as we wait for the day where we will join him in that eternal rest. Will you join me now in a spirit of prayer? Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Bill McKibben, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of your servants, Lord, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, a home not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We now invite you to stand as you're able as we join together in our congregational hymn, number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Our scripture for today comes to us from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 11 through 13. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. May God add his blessing to the hearing of his scripture.
At the death of his good friend, Walt Whitman, the American poet, Robert Ingersoll wrote some words that are very appropriate for us today as we talk about Bill. He said, a great man has lived among us and died, and both the living and the dying are important to us today. His place is secure. He laid the foundations of it in our hearts and in our minds, and we would add in our community and in this church. He was absolutely true to himself. He was frank, candid, pure, serene, and noble. We loved him living, and we love him still. And we do. And I call his name in great honor, George William McKibben, our brother Bill. I got to visit with him last Sunday, and I got to tell him some things. He was in great spirit, very lucid, and we had a good conversation. And I got to tell him what I wanted to tell him. In all my years of the church, and I've been in the church all my life, like a lot of you, I was on this side of the pulpit for 47 years. When I came to Fayetteville, I was as tall as you, Thomas, and I had that head full of curly hair, so the best 6 years of my life were spent in this town. I got to tell him that in all my time, I've never known a finer man or a finer churchman than Bill McKibben. It's a lot of people. I've never known a finer man or a finer churchman. It was an honor to know him and to work with him. I've never known anybody who saw life more clearly, without confusion, and without compromise than Bill McKibben. He was a great advocate for me. He was a great pal. He was a great teacher, and I learned a lot from him. In his book, The Road to Character, David Brooks talks about different kinds of virtues. He mentions resume virtues. You know what they are: education, experience, those sort of things you put on a resume. But he mentioned eulogy virtues. Eulogy virtues are those virtues that hold a community together, that hold a church together. You can name some, and I can name some too. We can talk about honesty and courage. We can talk about patience and generosity. You can add some others. You can add some others. He lived those virtues, those very best virtues, and he taught us some things. He taught us some things about this place, not just about the building, but the people and the ministry from this place. Yes, he loved this, and Thomas taught about all the things he did, and I'll say something about that too, in keeping the place up. Some of you spent a lot of hours, a lot of times in committees taking care of place, and that's really important. But he also loved the ministry of the place and what was done here. Bill came by the church every day. He came by every day to see what needed to be done. And surely, especially Monday and Tuesday, we had to have a list for him because somebody had reported in the children's division that a couple of chairs were broken or that a table leg was warped or something, and Bill would go take care of that. And like we say, the light bulbs and whatnot were out, and this was done and that was done. And if Bill couldn't take care of it, he knew who could. And we just wait, don't do anything until Bill gets here. He'll be by in a little bit. Has Bill been by yet? Every day. Betty, I tried to think of somebody in Scripture who was like that. And the one I came up with was Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Scripture says in the first chapter of Luke that he was on a rotating basis to go prepare the sanctuary for worship. That meant lighting candles, preparing incense, just getting the mundane things ready so people could worship. And Bill did that. He prepared the place. Thomas, I had a friend in seminary who preached a sermon about Zechariah doing that. And you mentioned the light bulbs. He entitled the sermon, Changing Light Bulbs in the Temple. Not the, those kinds of jobs didn't require the most talent in the world, but they required a great deal of love and grace and appreciation, a great deal of diligence. He was committed to this. And he came here every day the same reason you and I come here every day. He came for the same reasons. He came partly out of a responsibility, and some of you have had those responsibilities. You teach a class or you're on a committee. But there's another reason that Zechariah went to the temple, and there's a reason that we come to the temple. We come because we profoundly believe that somehow we'll hear the voice of God. We'll hear the voice of God in a song. We'll hear it in a sermon. We'll hear it in some scripture. We'll hear the voice of God in another worshiper's face. We'll see it in a child. We'll see it in an elderly couple still sitting together. We'll see it. And we believe that. And we believe that when we see and hear that voice of God in this place, our lives will be better. Bill believed that. Bill lived it. And Bill believed that, I don't know if he would have said this, but he lived it out, that every visit here was a sacred visit. Don't forget that. He taught me that. Every time you come to the church, it's a sacred visit. You go to Walmart, that's not sacred. You got to go, but it's not sacred. You go to Publix or Kmart or Kroger, wherever you go, it's okay, but it's not sacred. Every visit here is sacred. Remember that. And look into the eyes of those who worship with you. Look at the backs of those heads who are in front of you. It's a sacred moment every time we're here. And Bill knew that. And by his lessons, he taught me that. He also taught me, as well as I've ever seen it lived out, Betty, that we can disagree gently. We can disagree gently. Do you know anybody in Washington, D.C. who might need to hear that? We can disagree gently. We had to make a decision here once about a staff situation. You know, don't talk about those things much. And Bill disagreed. He disagreed. And he came to me and he told me, we sat and we talked about it, and he said, well, I just want you to know I disagree. Betty, I've had people who left the church because they disagreed with some decision. And they didn't know what in the world they were doing, but just angry and would leave. Or fuss for a few years and whine, you know. Bill never mentioned it again. He didn't change his workload. He didn't change his attendance. He didn't change his affection for me or anybody else. And then a couple of years later, we were able to reverse that decision and get it the way Bill wanted it. But we never could have done that if he had fussed about it and left the church, if you all had gone over to across the street over there and couldn't have done it. These graces that we talk about in the church have to work up close around the people that we're with every day. You don't just take those graces to work and try to be the best person you could be at work or at church. Every day, the people you're around every day, ultimately, and Bill knew this and Bill lived this, the purpose of God's love ultimately is to make you and me lovely. The purpose of God's grace is to make you and me graceful. The purpose of God's peace is to make you and me peaceful. And when we live those virtues, we can disagree gently and then hold hands and walk into the sanctuary together to worship God. He was faithful, you see the flag, faithful to his country, faithful to this church. He loved Fayette County. He loved Fayette County. He loved you. He was at Delta for 35 years. We celebrate some of those companies that are Atlanta-based, and maybe you're with one on Delta, Home Depot, Coca-Cola, Lockheed, some of those. But anywhere you work, we're responsible for our little corner where we are, and companies and churches and communities get reputations, good and bad. They get reputations for being good when a lot of good people do good things over and over and over and over. And you have that reputation. They get bad reputations when just a few people misbehave and do something illegal and the company loses its place. You can name some. You can name some companies. I can name some companies who've just lost their place, lost their status because a few people misbehaved. When I was here, again, Bill and Betty, so good at this. Some of you have told me moments when they welcomed you into the church. People would tell me all the time, Sam, you have a really friendly church at Fayetteville. They didn't mean that they came to church and 800 people shook their hands and said hello. They didn't mean that. They meant that a couple of people just a couple, maybe you were one of them, and you can do it this Sunday. A couple of people said, welcome. I don't believe I know you. A couple of people said it, and we were a friendly church. It doesn't take 800, it just takes you and me just doing that little bit every day, every time we're here. Albert Schweitzer was a great medical doctor, medical missionary. He was a theologian, and he was a great musician. He was often invited to do dedicatory concerts, or just concerts in general, organ concerts, all around the world. And he had a policy. I probably said this when I was the minister here. He had a policy of when he would go into a town, he's going to do a concert Saturday. He'd put a little note in the paper, Dr. Schweitzer is here. He'll be at this coffee shop or this cafe or this restaurant Saturday morning if you'd like to come by and speak to Dr. Schweitzer. And people would crowd up, and his friend said, why in the world do you do that? Why do you spend that much time? And he said, more people are won to faith by simple human kindness than by any other virtue. And if that's true, then Bill McKibben was a great, great evangelist. He brought people into the church, and when you came, he kept you here over and over and over and over. He loved some things. I said he loved Delta. He loved this community. He loved this church. He loved Fayette County. But most of all, and you know this as well as I do, he loved Betty most of all. I don't know that I ever said Bill McKibben or Betty McKibben separately. I don't know that I ever didn't say Bill and Betty. They were a powerful team. When Jack Kemp, the congressman, died, Peggy Noonan wrote an article about him, and she said that he possessed the power of a happy man. You gave us a happy man. You gave us a happy man. And look at the lives he changed. Listen, I hope you've heard the accolades. You gave us a happy man. Home was secure. Betty was secure. And he could come in and do the things he did. We have that capacity with each other. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. He told me Sunday two or three times, and he had told Betty this, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready. He was ready. Betty, I'm a baseball fan. I go to all the Braves games. I went to 75 games last year, and I hope to make them all this year. When I was a kid growing up, Eddie Matthews, who played for the Braves, he was third baseman, Hall of Famer. Matthews was my hero. Later, I realized that Matthews was a better ball player than he was person. And in his autobiography, he wrote on the last page, I'm not afraid to die, but he said, I'd like to have a couple of weeks' notice. I think there's some people I'd like to apologize to. How sad. Bill left with no apologies needed. Bill Curry's name is well known on this side of town. It's well known everywhere in the sports world and the world in general. Curry's College Park boy. He was played football there and played at Georgia Tech, All-American, and was drafted in 1964 in the last round of the draft by the Green Bay Packers. He went on to a stellar career. He had a couple of Super Bowl rings, and he's coached some great teams. Bill Curry, a great, great, great man. But when he was drafted, he didn't know if he could make the Green Bay team or not. He was last round, and these guys were better and bigger and stronger, and he was worried. He said one day he was coming off the practice field, and the great Willie Davis, that all-pro Green Bay Hall of Famer, put his hand on his shoulder and said, Curry, you've got some ability. I think you can help this team. Curry said, that changed everything. That changed everything. All of a sudden, I could make this team. I could help. And he did. He went on to that stellar career. He said years later, he ran into Willie Davis at a banquet, and he had a chance to thank him. He went up to him, Willie, thank you that day on the practice field. It meant the world to me, what you said. And Willie didn't remember. He said, what did I say to you, Bill? He said, you told me that you thought I had real ability and I could help the team. And Davis said, "Hell, Curry, I said that to every rookie." He loved me, but hell, he loved all of us, didn't he? He was my cheerleader, but he was a cheerleader for all of us, wasn't he? He was a champion for me, but he was a champion for all of us. And we celebrate that. A good man. Our wound is deep, but it's clean. And that's not always the case, Betty. But we're thankful for that today. Now, let me say what we already know, that Bill is with Almighty God today in the great mystery that is heaven. I hear preachers all the time describe heaven, how deep and wide and all those sorts of things. I don't. I think heaven's a great mystery, and I think it's supposed to be. We don't know everything that's on the other side. But we do know that the God who made everything on this side made everything on the other side of the grave. And this side is wonderful. And so we rest in that. And we also know that there's no way that we go from this side to that side unless we die. And death, too, is a part of God's plan for us. There's no way we make the move. And even in death, Bill was not outside the umbrella of God's love and God's care. What a profound honor it is for me to stand here today and talk about this good man, Betty. Thank you for this, family. Thank you. Thomas, thank you. We're a grateful people, aren't we? Let us pray. Almighty God, for the life and the legacy of this good man, we give thanks. We pray that your love would make us as lovely, your grace would make us as graceful, and your peace would make us as peaceful, that we too could see life without so much conflict and without so much compromise. We follow in the footsteps of this fine leader. Grant us now your peace, in Jesus' name, amen.
Love.
Will you join me in a spirit of prayer? God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us, even to this day. For the gift of joy and days of health and strength. And for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and for friends, for our baptism and for our place in your church, and with all who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death, and who rose for our sake, who lives and prays for us, and as he taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please stand as you're able for the benediction? Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God's love. And may the power, glory, majesty of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.